Welcome to T21 Mom.
Welcome to the T21 Mom podcast, where we celebrate the extraordinary journeys of moms just like you. I'm Mary, mom to Ainsley, my superstar with an extra chromosome and a dual diagnosis of autism. In this episode, we're discussing the challenges of pregnancy and how Kelly Anderson, a warrior mom with a blood condition called RH factor, bravely faced her difficult pregnancy and found hope in the midst of it all. Join us as we explore her journey and the powerful impact of a nurse's kind note that made all the difference. Let's go have a listen.
Today on the T21 Mom podcast, we're sharing more diagnosis stories. Today, I have a fellow Canadian, Kelly Anderson, here to share her story. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Wonderful. Now, before we get started, you're in the middle of Canada, but you can share about where you are if you like. But before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about you and your family?
I am a mom to technically have four kids, but my very first one was stillborn. So I have three living children and they're all girls. And my oldest is 24, my middle child is 19, and then my youngest, Raina, she is 10.
Wonderful. And whereabouts do you live?
Yeah. I live in Carlisle, Saskatchewan. It's a very small town. Not many people don't know where it is if you don't know Saskatchewan.
So it's kind of a funny joke for Canadians. Saskatchewan is the easiest province to draw, but it's the hardest one to spell. So I always have to think about it when I'm trying to spell it. But it's kind of right in the middle of Canada, if you want to think of it that way. Now, today we're going to share your diagnosis stories because I have had a really awesome response from people wanting to share their stories, which I think is really wonderful because I think we all have one. And some are obviously a little bit different than others. But, you know, you find out you're pregnant with your youngest daughter, Raina, and you have a condition that can make your pregnancies challenging. Can you share what that is?
Yes, I have the RH factor, which actually isn't, you know, that big of a deal. Lots of women have it when they get pregnant and they give you a shot. I forget the name of the needle they give you to protect your body and protect the baby. Well, the needle doesn't work on me at all. Mm. So it doesn't protect the baby inside me. And if the baby has the same blood type as me, it recognizes that and won't attack the baby. But if the baby has a different blood type than me, it attacks the baby. So that's what was happening with Raina when I was pregnant with Raina.
Was it like that with your previous pregnancies?
Well, as I stated earlier, you know, my first one was stillborn, but I was so young and I think they missed it. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened with him. And then my second child, she had the same blood type as me. I had an excellent pregnancy with her. And then my third one, that's when they caught it, when I was 6 months pregnant with my third child. And so then I've been monitored ever since then. So then when I was pregnant with Raina, they knew exactly what to monitor me for.
And so what is RH factor? I've kind of heard of it, but I don't really know what exactly it is.
Oh, I'm so terrible at explaining medical terms. I don't know why my brain cannot retain medical information. So something to do with my blood type and the father's blood type, it mixed together when you create baby. I could be completely wrong.
No, that's what I'd kind of heard too, because what is your blood type?
Oh my gosh. See what I mean? I'm so terrible. I am something negative.
Yeah, that's...
I got to look at my card. I have a card. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
that's negative blood.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard too. Because I grew up with a friend across the street who I think one of her parents had that. I think her mom had it as well. And so she has some health issues growing up. that I think was due to that. But, and that's only reason why I was ever sort of familiar with it, like when you had written to me about it. So obviously they caught it so that they were able to monitor it. But unfortunately, the shot didn't work for you. So how did they manage your pregnancy then if you weren't able to take that medication?
Ultrasounds every week, checking the baby's organs, make sure they're growing, functioning. And all my babies have been induced early to make sure they come out healthy as they could be. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's about it. With when they first found out I had it, I had to get lots of amniocentesis, and that was terrible. That's the big needle in your stomach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something to do with their lungs to make, because they were waiting for the lungs to be fully developed to induce the baby.
Right.
But with Reina, I don't know if technology had changed by 10 years later. I didn't have to get the big needle in the stomach, but I was every week going for an ultrasound.
So you were having like multiple amnios during your pregnancies?
When they first caught it with my middle child, yes. All the time. Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh, that is horrible. Oh my gosh. I mean, most people don't.
It was.
Even like, you just think of the amnio, you know, they're obviously checking for something, but usually you only get it one time. Like, I had an amnio because I needed to check for if there was Down syndrome or some other trisomy when I was pregnant with my daughter Ainsley. But I can't imagine having that like frequently. That would be horrible. Not a great way to enjoy your pregnancy, I'm sure, because you're probably so anxious all the time, wondering how your baby is and having to get an amnio.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, and there's so many risks when you get an amnio, too, that
Yeah.
So I was glad I didn't have to do that with Reina.
On the last one. Yeah, that's good news, too. So also, when you were pregnant with Reina, you said that, you know, obviously you were being monitored more closely, but they offered you testing. And was there a reason that they offered you testing? Is it because of the Rh factor, or was it for some other reason, or what was the reason?
You know, all my pregnancies, I've been offered this test. I think this test, you take it at 6 or 7 months being pregnant, and it's to detect any defectiveness with the baby. Mm-hmm. So all my pregnancies, I've always denied this test. And like I said, I'm not good with medical terms. Couldn't even remember the name of this test, but I've always just denied it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give you a reason why. I think I was just, God gave me this baby, mm-hmm. and I will just embrace whatever God gives me. I think that's, but back in my mind, I honestly thought I was never going to have a baby with a disability. I think my brain never, ever went there.
Well, I think that's the same for probably most people when they're pregnant. There's that new NIP test it's not new. It was new when I was pregnant with Ainsley. It was just kind of coming on the market. But most people were just doing it to find out the gender. But then often what happens is, you know, they're also finding out their child has Down syndrome, and I don't know if it can detect other trisomies, but I know obviously for sure it detects Down syndrome. I don't think, no one's ever expecting to get that news. You know, you're just expecting to find out if you're having a boy or a girl, and then you get thrown a little bit of a curveball. Now, you said that you were induced early. I mean, is that primarily because of your firstborn?
Yes. Because my child's organs were fully formed, and at the last ultrasound, she looked great. So they're like, let's induce you and get her out and get her into NICU and make sure everything's okay. So Reina was induced early. Sydney was induced early because they knew my body was attacking the babies. So mm-hmm. yeah. So Reina was really sick when she was born, but it wasn't mm-hmm. because of Down syndrome. It was because of what my body was doing to her.
Oh my gosh, that's so stressful. And so how early was Reina induced? Like, how many weeks were you?
3 weeks early.
Okay. But they're still, you know, that's generally considered still full term. So, but
yeah,
that's so stressful. So I know you said you're not great with the medical terminology, I guess, because partially I'm just sort of curious. But like, how does your RH factor, is it only sort of, I don't know, present when you're pregnant, or is it just sort of part of your, because I think it's to do with your blood, if I'm not mistaken. Like, how does it attack your baby's organs? I'm just sort of curious, like, what does it do?
From what I gather, if your spouse's blood is opposite of you, and then you create a baby, and it only affects you when you are pregnant. And it's, yeah.
Okay.
My body just doesn't recognize. They think it's something foreign in my body and trying to fight it off.
Okay. That makes
sense. Because it's not the same blood that my body doesn't recognize what is growing inside of me. So it tries to, you know, like when you have a cold and viruses try to fight the cold, it's my body's thinking this is not something that's supposed to be there.
Right.
That's how they explain it to me. I'm sure they explained it in way better medical terms, but.
No, that makes total sense. Now, I understand that now. That makes total sense. So, okay. So obviously you said you were induced with Raina, which is not fun. I've only been pregnant with Ainsley, but I've only been induced the one time, but it's not fun. I know other people who've done it. They always say it's never fun. But what happened when your daughter was born?
Oh, gosh. When she was born, I had my mom in the labor room with us, along with my spouse, Roger. And, you know, excellent birth. She came out beautiful, crying, healthy. You know, they gave her to me. Everyone's crying. And I remember saying, oh, my gosh, she's such a beautiful baby. Mm-hmm. And we all laughed and cheered. And I did remember commenting, man, she's got a really long tongue. That's the only thing I remember, but I had no clue, anything. And then that's when the doctor said, can I see your baby? And I saw, for sure you could see her, not even having a clue what was happening. And then they took the baby and they're whispering, and I'm still clueless, thinking, oh, they're just making sure she's okay because of her health issues. Mm-hmm. And then the doctor came and said, we think she shows signs of Down syndrome. We've called in a specialist. He'll be here in an hour and he will talk to you. And I just remember feeling like, no, this isn't happening. Not a chance. Syndrome. No way. And I bawled and bawled and bawled. And Roger looked at me and he's like, Kelly, it'll be okay. And thank God he said that, because at the time I did not think it would be okay. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know anything about Down syndrome. I was so naive to what my future was going to come to me. And then they must have wheeled me away, or I don't know. I remember being in a room alone. And it was dark and I was crying. I remember praying to God, please, please, please let the doctors be wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. I can't do this. I don't know anything about raising a child with disabilities. I know nothing. And I'm very upset with myself, how I reacted, knowing what a beautiful, beautiful angel she is. She's amazing. I don't look at her and I don't think, oh, my child has Down syndrome. Like, it, my brain doesn't even think. Mm-hmm. To me, she's Raina. She's just like her sister. She's this spunky little 10-year-old that keeps me on my toes. And yeah, and I remember feeling embarrassed to tell my family and friends. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready to do that yet. And I feel very shameful at how I reacted.
You know, I think almost everyone has felt that in some way. I know for me, I've said it many times, that when I found out I had a prenatal diagnosis that she was going to be born with Down syndrome, I was gutted. I was devastated. And I thought my life was over. I was a single mom by choice. And I thought, how am I going to do this? And it does. It totally hurts my heart to know that I felt that way and that I thought my life was over. And what did I know about raising a child with, you know, with a disability? And so I think us parents, and probably mostly us moms, we need to, you know, cut ourselves some slack, you know, when this happens, because we all love our kids. But when you're kind of gut punched, for lack of a better word, you know, it just changes everything for you. Like you're going down a different path. We're still traveling the same road. It's just a slightly different one. But I know that I think we're often so hard on ourselves with how we felt when we learned that our child has Down syndrome. But, you know, and I think that's okay. I think it's all just sort of part of the process of acceptance and grieving. And it's okay to feel that way. And like you, like I was, you know, I didn't really want people to know she had Down syndrome when she was born. I would post pictures of her. She didn't really look like she had Down syndrome. Not that I was embarrassed, but it was hard. It's just hard, you know, so I totally get that for you. So, I mean, you kind of touched on it, like what your feelings were when the doctor told you this. So how long did you have to wait, or did this specialist come in like an hour later and talk to you, or what happened after that?
It's kind of a blur because, you know, he's yeah, emotional and trying to. But yeah, he was there probably with an hour, maybe two. I couldn't even tell you. Time was strange at the time. And I remember him holding Raina and showing markers on the hands, trying to explain mm-hmm. to me that's what they saw in the tongue. Mm-hmm. That's all I remember of the two markers that they told me at the time. And, you know, then they say they got to do the blood test and it gets sent away to Vancouver and you find out in about a week, but he said he was pretty sure mm-hmm. he had it. And then the more stuff they point out, you're like, oh yeah, I see what you're talking about. I see it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see it. And then a lot of children with Down syndrome have heart issues, and she mm-hmm. had the tiniest little heart issue. But that was really it health-wise for Down syndrome when she was first born that they looked at, that I knew. I'm sure there was other things they saw, but my mind was
elsewhere,
not prepared to hear everything that they were telling me. Oh, thank gosh I had my mom with me and I had Roger with me, because they retained stuff and I was not retaining stuff. And plus, she was so sick, she spent 2 weeks in neonatal, so because mm-hmm. of other issues. And I didn't love her any less because of what she was diagnosed with. It mm-hmm. almost made me feel way more protective, like I have to protect this baby because she's not going to have an easy life like my other children had. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where my brain was going, but I don't know how to protect her. Mm-hmm. So, and I still, she's 10, going to be 11, and I want to protect her from so much stuff, and I don't know how. The future is very scary for her, and I don't know what to do.
Oh, I'm right there with you. You know, my daughter's 11, so she's grade 6, and then we have one more year of elementary school, and I'm already panicking about high school and what that's going to look like. And I mean, that's a whole other episode, but yeah, it is kind of scary. But you know, maybe that'll be a future podcast. But yeah, it is scary. But, you know, I think we're all pretty resilient, and, you know, we just figure it out. I'm hoping to figure it out. But, you know, I think we just prepare. And, you know, she's got sisters who I'm sure love her and will support her and advocate for her. But yes, it is hard because it's also the unknown, you know. None of us have been there before, so it makes it a little bit more challenging. So when you did finally get the confirmation, was it any different than when the doctor told you at birth? Or had you come to a little bit of acceptance?
No, got the letter in the mail, and it Yeah. By the time we got that letter, it was like, okay, like clearly she has Down syndrome. I knew the doctor wasn't wrong. I prayed that the doctor was wrong, but I knew this doctor was not wrong. And actually when she was in neonatal or in the NICU, there was I came to visit in the morning and there was a letter in her bassinet thing, and it was from a nurse, and the nurse had a child with Down syndrome. So she sent me, it was a picture of her baby.
Aww.
And I still have it. And she talked about her journey. And so that was when you say you have a child with Down syndrome, and then you actually hear about more people with children, you know, so it opens up your eyes to a different type of community. But that nurse, I don't think she knows how much that letter impacted me when I read it.
Oh, you should see if she's still there and tell her, because I'm assuming we're probably in a small hospital, I'm assuming. Or did you go into Regina or a bigger city to have Raina?
Regina. Yeah, Regina.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So still not a huge city, like not like Vancouver.
No.
And I'm sure they don't see a lot of children with Down syndrome being born there, because I remember when Ainsley was born, I had had a prenatal diagnosis, so everyone was ready. And then for various reasons, we ended up at Children's Hospital. But like all these doctors were and medical students were coming in because I guess, you know, for the opportunity to see her. But Vancouver's not small, so I would assume they're seeing some children being born, at least a few a year, I would think. I don't know. But yeah, so I can only imagine in Regina, it's probably pretty rare occurrence for that to happen. But how wonderful for that nurse to give you that letter, because I can't imagine what that would have felt like to receive that. I think for me, it would feel like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better. I can, you know, I can do this. And, you know, that someone understands you and knows what you're going through right at that, you know, such a challenging time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she was a graveyard shift nurse, so I never even got to meet her because I was in the, you know, I'd be all day in the NICU and then I'd go back to the hotel at night. So I never did get to meet her. But eventually I did, because I found her on Facebook, chatted with her, and she's part of the Saskatchewan Down Syndrome Society and I'm part of it. So yeah, but I don't think I ever really told her how much she had impacted me that day I read her letter.
Oh, wow. Even all these years later, I'm sure she would love to hear it, you know, but that's wonderful that you two were able to connect. And I'm sure that was, you know, I'm willing to bet that was pretty special for her too, to be able to give you that letter and a picture, you know, of her daughter as well. Like, I think that's so amazing, because it can be a really, really hard time when you're first getting that diagnosis. And I mean, obviously you had, like, I don't know if complications is the right word, but some challenges during your pregnancy with your RH factor. But, you know, I'm always curious with people, do you think you would prefer to have had a birth diagnosis, or do you think you would have liked to have had a prenatal diagnosis?
You know, that's a really great question. And I don't know if I know how to answer that, because I'm pretty sure I'd probably react the same way if I found out prenatal, but then would I be driving myself crazy? I think about it a lot. Would I drive myself crazy and stress myself more while I'm pregnant? Or that's a hard one to answer. I don't know. I don't ever think, oh, I wish I knew before she was born. That's never crossed my mind.
Okay. What, just from chatting with people, it's every person has said they preferred how they got it. Like, if they had a birth diagnosis, they said that was the better way to get it. Others who had a prenatal, like myself, said it was better that way, which I always find really interesting. So it's interesting for you that you're kind of on the fence. So I find that interesting. But because I think it's still, I don't know. I know I wouldn't have done well with the birth diagnosis. And I just think it's almost harder because you weren't expecting it. And, you know, and then you've just given birth. It's like just there's so much going on at that time. And it's, you know, can be a really hard time. But yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, because obviously you had other concerns, you know, with your pregnancies to make sure that the baby's going to be born okay and, you know, that they're going to be healthy. Now, Raina's 10 and, you're, you know, like Ainsley's 11. So we've kind of been at it for close to the same amount of time. What do you feel that your daughter Raina has taught you?
Oh, goodness. She has taught me so much about to slow down and enjoy every single moment. Who knew that learning to use utensils properly would be a huge milestone? Mm-hmm. You take the small things for granted, and every little milestone is huge to us.
Mm-hmm.
And no one really understands, unless you're in that position, what these milestones mean.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because she's my youngest child, I'm nowhere near as strict, or I don't know if it's because I'm old and tired now, or but she gets away with a lot because I don't know if it's because she's special needs or I'm old and tired, and you know, she's my last kid, and my two older kids, they make fun of me that I would never let them do what she gets away with.
It's because she's the youngest. I had, you know, I'm one of four. I mean, I was the third, but yeah, as it goes down, like, yeah, the parents are just too tired, right? To be more strict. Exactly. So it's just, yeah. And the youngest, they know that. They can get away with murder practically.
Exactly.
But I love that.
And of course, and I'm awful to say this, but before I had Raina, of course, I used the R word a lot. It was in my vocabulary. And the day she was born, it was removed from my vocabulary. So it really opened up my eyes to a language that I realized was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, I'd correct everybody around me. Like, please, we don't like that in our household anymore. And till this day, when I hear a stranger say it, my friends and family around me, they know that word. No one ever says that word around me and our family. But you hear strangers on the street and my heart just jumps out of my throat. And I'm like, do I say something?
Mm-hmm.
But now 10 years in, I'm like, I don't even bother saying anything to these persons anymore. If it was a family member, someone close to me, absolutely. But someone on the street, I just don't fight that battle anymore. And I used to, but I don't. As I've gotten older, I need to worry about myself and my family and my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that the other people that aren't in our surroundings, they will learn as they grow and get older. I don't know how to explain it.
No, I think
I can't stress about the world and the R world, the R word. I can only control my surroundings.
Mm-hmm. No, you explained it.
And it took
perfectly.
And it took me a while to get there.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe that. And like you, when I do hear people I don't know, I remember one day I was standing in line at Tim Hortons and there were just some teenagers that were behind me and I heard it. And I sort of turned around. I mean, my daughter wasn't, I don't think she was with me. She might have been, but they wouldn't have known. But I go, do I say something? And part of me wishes that I did because they were young and obviously don't know. But, you know, sometimes it's like we have to choose what our battles are and it's a public space and, you know, they're not my friends or family. So you're right. Like it's sometimes it's a difficult sort of fence to be on, you know. But I think we just do our best because I had some family members who had used it and I go, I'm sorry, but we just don't use that word anymore. Can you pick something else? And these are educated people, you know, so It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think we can lead by example. And, you know, and I think people, they just don't realize that they're even necessarily using it and that it's offensive to us all the time. So I think as long as we tell those that are close to us and around us that, you know, that they can do better. And I think most people want to do better. So, you know, good for you. And that's great. And I loved how you said she taught you to slow down. I love that. I think that is so true. And I have to think about that more, that, yeah, our life is a little bit slower paced, but that's okay. And, you know, just how our kids just open us up to so many other things and such a wonderful community that's out there for us. Like, you know, all these people that I would never have met.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it's the same for you. Now, think if you were the nurse and someone just told you, or you just learned that someone received the diagnosis that their child was going to have be either born with Down syndrome or they just had a baby with Down syndrome. What advice would you give someone who's just found this out?
I would say it's okay. Don't let anyone say I'm sorry to you, because there's nothing to be sorry about. This child is a blessing. I can't articulate that feeling, but it's a blessing. And there's a huge community out there to help you with any questions. I had a huge community that helped me, guide me, and there for whoever needed guidance with that diagnosis, that feeling. I would never judge someone for having the feelings that I had, because I would hope that I wasn't judged for my feelings I felt at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said, I'm ashamed of those feelings, but I can't change that. But I would like to help somebody just say that it's okay. You know, I had my spouse tell me that it was okay, but I didn't have anyone else being like, it's okay, Kelly, it's not a big deal. She's going to be healthy, happy, beautiful. You know, all you hear is medical terms and, oh, your baby might have a heart defect. Your baby might have this and this and this and this. And you're like, oh my gosh. And it's a lot to take all at once. And I would just say, just take each day as it goes. A baby is a baby. They're beautiful. They're happy. They're amazing. Just nurture and love. That's all a child needs is nurture and love and guidance. Doesn't matter if you have a disability or not.
And that's exactly what I always tell people. All babies need to be loved, fed, changed, and hugged. Just love them. It doesn't matter if they have an extra chromosome or not. You know, all babies, they're just there for us to love them and nothing else. Oh, that's so wonderful. And Kelly, and so how is Raina's heart? Did she have any heart issues when she was born?
She had the tiniest, tiniest hole. And, oh gosh, a tiny hole. And, oh my God, they described it like a pig hair. It was thin like a hole and a pig hair. There's a medical term for it, but I don't know what it is. And they said it would close up when she was 2 years old, but it actually didn't close up till she was in grade two, so seven. We had to monitor it every year to make sure. But she's good. Her heart is so healthy right now. So,
oh, that's awesome. Good. So like no heart surgery or anything then?
No, nothing.
Oh, that's not fantastic. Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your story about your sweet Raina. Is there anything else that you would like people to know?
Just anybody that, you know, just gets this diagnosis, don't panic. There is so much support out there. You'd be really surprised at the support you will have. And okay, it is okay. And you're allowed to have whatever feelings you have. And you don't need validation for those feelings, but it'll be okay. Tell myself that all the time. It'll be okay.
Oh, I love that. That's so wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you sharing your story and being so open about Raina and your whole diagnosis story. It's just, I love sharing these stories And I hope that others are really enjoying them as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking about Raina and her birth story. I don't get to talk about it very often, so I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're welcome.
I can't imagine how difficult and stressful it would be knowing that you have a condition such as Kelly's where your body is literally attacking your sweet baby. Although Kelly and her medical team were confident after Raina was born that she had Down syndrome, I was a bit shocked to find out that they just simply mailed her the results. That really needs to change, I think. And I think Kelly really nailed it on the head when she said she was naive to what her future was going to be. I'm pretty confident that is the same for many, if not most of us. I know for myself and probably many others, we feel regret and shame over how we felt upon learning of our baby's diagnosis. But when you know better, you do better. And for Kelly, how wonderful that her husband was so supportive and assured her it was going to be okay. I'm sure now she would say it's better than okay. Thanks for listening. And if you would like to share your diagnosis story, please reach out to me at t21mom.com where you can leave me a message, or if you feel like it, you can even leave me a little voicemail. So keep on loving on your rocking kiddos, and I'll see you next time.